Thank you so much for being in our assembly tonight to worship God. Tonight we've chosen a passage from the Old Testament, the book of Esther, to be our text for the lesson, which tells us about a man by the name of Mordecai. I've heard a lot of lessons through the years on Bible characters. I don't recall ever hearing one on Mordecai, but there's something there in the life of Mordecai that demonstrates his great faith in God that I think you and I can be blessed by looking at his life and making some examples that might apply to ours and help us in a spiritual way. This man was a Jew. He was Esther's uncle. But most importantly about this man, he was a man who demonstrated great faith. In what ways did he do that? What can we look at in Mordecai's life and say, this man was a man of faith? In the first place, I'd like to suggest to you that he raised Esther. Well, people raise children and young people all the time. Why does this demonstrate the man's faith? From Esther 2, he was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father or mother. Now the young lady was beautiful of form and face, and when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So we're told a little bit of information as to why he took her as his own daughter. And I think that provides for us one of many examples that we could look at to see here is a person who is not so wrapped up in his selfish interests and his own life that he can kind of open his wings and share his blessings and his love and his care for other people. I think that's Mordecai. The New Testament also talks about responsibilities that believers have to have the kind of religion that demonstrates a love for other people in the care rendered for orphans and widows who are in distress. James writes in his short book in chapter 1 and verse 27 and says this, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." Mordecai was just such an individual. We should follow his example by taking seriously our responsibility to care for others in need. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 6, 9, and 10. He said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good." You know, we can be defeated in the good things that we try to do for other people many times. Circumstances, things people say to us, things people do to us that are negative. That can cause to us to have a feeling of defeat when we try to do something good. Paul says, don't lose heart in doing good. He goes on to say, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith, but do good to all people. Will Jesus look favorably or unfavorably on those who fail to supply the needs of his brothers? If we look carefully at the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25, 35 and 36, just to pick out a couple of verses in the middle of that context, which covers verse 31 through 46, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And, of course, the question as a result of that, when was that, Lord? And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." That should help us to think very carefully about our responsibility when it comes to other people, and particularly those of the household of faith. To be people who are willing to open our wings of love to them, to share the blessings that God has blessed us with our brethren who are in need, and to do good to all men. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, the outcome of the great judgment of God is determined by those very activities. It would be good for us to think about that. Mordecai was a great example of a person who did that very thing. I think we can look at that and say, this man believed in God, trusted God, lived for God. But not only that. Secondly, Mordecai saved the king. In chapter 2, 21 through 23, in those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's officials from those who guarded the door, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. But the plot became known to Mordecai, and he told Queen Esther. And Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. Now, when the plot was investigated and found to be so, they were both hanged on a gallows, and it was written in the book of Chronicles in the king's presence. Here was a man who exposed an assassination plot, an attempt to do harm to the king. Mordecai became aware of the assassination plot. He could have ignored it, but he didn't. He had to be a man of righteous principle. Mordecai provides us with an example, I think, here again, of concern for other people. When others are in danger, you and I should rise to help, shouldn't we? In Obadiah 10 and 11, here's what this short little prophetic book says in these two verses. It is a prophetic statement. Because of violence to your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame and you will be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were as one of them. An interesting expression there is that you stood aloof. The occasion of Obadiah's prophecy is the great cruelty of the Edomites against God's people. Rejoicing over the fall of Jerusalem in these two verses, Obadiah pronounced their doom because of violence to your brother Jacob. They refused to help and became united with the conquerors because they refused to help. This book denounces Edom for her evil attitudes and her evil actions against Judah when another enemy attacked and plundered Jerusalem. Edom was not the country that initiated the bad treatment against Jerusalem, but they were condemned for standing aloof. When people are in spiritual danger, especially, we should strive very diligently to save them. And not only because we are obligated to do that, but because we desire to help other people. In James 5, 19 and 20, the book of God says this, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Likewise, in Jude 23, we have this admonition, "Save others, snatching them out of the fire." In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 29, the second part of that verse, Paul said, "Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" Jesus was concerned about people who fell into sin, was he not? Paul was very concerned about brethren who fell into sin. Certainly he was by this writing. And with the admonitions that we have to be show our concern for others, to save others, to turn a sinner from the error of his way, you and I should be like that ourselves. When people are in any kind of danger, spiritual danger, even someone as great as a ruler in Mordecai's day, we should do the right thing. We should do righteousness. That demonstrates our faith, as Mordecai's was demonstrated here. Knowing the story of Mordecai, he refused to bow to Haman. From Esther 3, 1 through 5, after these events, King Ahasuerus promoted a man by the name of Haman and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage. Then the king's servant who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why are you transgressing the king's command?" Now it was, when they had spoken daily to him, and he would not listen to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reason would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. "Why didn't you do this?" "Because I'm a Jew," was his answer to them. When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, Haman was filled with rage. He refused to do this because he was a Jew, in verse 4. Notice that it was not a one-time occurrence. Notice that it was a daily thing, in verse 4. This led Haman to plan to kill Mordecai and all of the Jews, in chapter 5 and verse 14, we're told, and in chapter 3 and verse 6. Mordecai is one who provides us with an example of loyalty to God. That's why he didn't bow down to Haman. Loyalty to God, even in the face of a threat, to harm us physically, to take our lives. Mordecai seemed to be a person who really was focused on doing God's will regardless of the cost. It takes great faith to do that, doesn't it? Today, you and I must be loyal to the Lord above all others, and not just on a certain day, but every day, just like the example of Mordecai shows. Paul rebuked the Corinthians for having a divided loyalty among men in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and following. In Matthew 10, 38, Jesus said, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." In Acts 5, in verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered the religious council that had them under examination on that occasion, "We must obey God rather than men." Did they not know they would be in trouble for such a statement as that? Did they not know that they could possibly lose their lives as Jesus had lost his? Certainly they did. Certainly it takes great courage to act this way. And certainly it takes great faith for us to act this way. Loyalty to the Lord must be established, and it must be strong enough to last, because we have an enemy out there, and his name is Satan, and he's going to do everything that he can to break down our loyalty to our one true living God. He's going to do everything that he can to erase our fidelity and our devotion to our King. We must be established. We must be strong enough to last. The Gospel of Matthew. Matthew writes in Matthew 10, 21 and 22, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end that will be saved." Endurance is required. We can't do that with a weak and flimsy faith. We have to be people who strengthen our faith at every opportunity that we can, to be able to persevere, endure, and to have patience. Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." How very important that is. Haman Mordecai seems to be a man in reference to Haman who demonstrates this type of moral courage and faithfulness to God's instruction by refusing to bow down to a man and worship him. Mordecai was one who called upon Esther to act. In chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Hathach went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict which he had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her, and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and plead with him for the people. You know, how could this difficulty and trouble for these people be erased? How could these threats not become a reality? The threat of the whole people of the Jews being destroyed, how could that happen? The only way it could happen would be if the king would do something about it. How do we get the king to do something about it? Esther's our best shot. In verse 13, we are told, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" He informed Esther of Haman's plot and told her to act to save the people. Make this courageous act. Do this courageous thing. She initially hesitated in verse 11 of chapter 4, but despite the danger, he admonished her and convinced her to do the right thing. Mordecai provides us with an example of admonishing other people to do good things, even difficult things, but good things. I think you and I can learn a lesson from that, and we can come away with the concept that Christians need the encouragement of their brethren. In Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the record says, "For Christians, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Let us think about how we might do that. As we look at Mordecai's life and see that's exactly what he did, let us follow his example by stimulating others to love and good deeds. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, "But encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We need encouragement from one another. We need others to help us make the right choices in life. And when we choose to make a right choice, we need others to stand shoulder to shoulder with us, don't we? Yes, you made the right choice, and I support you in that. And I pray that the Lord will strengthen you in that. That's the kind of sentiment that we need from one another, isn't it? Sometimes we need to be encouraged to do what we already know to be right. Isn't that what Peter is talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1? Verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things," he wrote, "even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." Now notice, verse 13, the next verse, "I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." You know, there are many scriptures that I read to you from the pulpit that we think about together that you already know. Many of you may have read these scriptures more times than I have, but it's still good to remember those things that God has written, isn't it? Every opportunity that we have to call the powerful Word of God to remembrance in our hearts is good. It reinforces it. It strengthens our faith. It builds us up, and it keeps us courageous. For when we go out into the world and speak to other people and they contradict the things that God has plainly said in His Word, we immediately know that's not right. And we can immediately challenge people who stand up against our God and against our Lord and against His doctrine and say, that's not what the Lord said. Mordecai called upon Esther to act. She was going to do something dangerous, and it took a great amount of courage, but she did it. And due to that encouragement from Mordecai, this man of great faith, she followed through with what he advised her to do. I think that's good. And then lastly, the point that I want to share with you about Mordecai is that he trusted the will of God. He didn't know all the details about how God would do what God planned to do, but he trusted that God would carry out his purposes in one way or another. Verse 13 to 14 of Esther 4. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews." You know, if the Jews are in trouble, you're a Jew and you're going to be in trouble too, was the concept. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish." You know, if you don't get on board with God's plan will not be defeated. Somebody else will get on board with it, and you may perish as a result of that. That's what he's saying to her. "And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Think about the fact. Maybe God put you where you are so you can do something for His cause, is what He's saying to her. Do you and I lead lives like that? Has God put us in the position where we are now that we might be able to help someone else around us? Maybe someone else that nobody else has an opportunity to say anything to but me or you. Regardless of what Esther decided to do, Mordecai was convinced that God would deliver his people. He didn't presume to know how God would carry out his will, but he trusted in God for salvation. And Mordecai provides us with an example of faith. God's will would not be derailed by any choices, good or bad, that man made. Mordecai didn't speculate. He simply encouraged Esther to take advantage of the position that she was in at the time. And she did. You and I must serve God in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 18 through 24, there are several verses that teach this principle to New Testament Christians. "Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. And likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called." Now, what Paul is not saying here is that every single condition wherein you find yourself, you must remain there. If you are an unrighteous person, when God calls you to salvation, remain unrighteous. No, that's not what he's saying. He mentions two specific examples, one of circumcision, which you and I understand from our studies of the New Testament was quite a controversial subject during the first century because of a drastic change in God's law to men. Most of the people in the world were affected by slavery of some sort. Voluntary slavery was a way to get out of debt. Many, many people were slaves in the first century. These were social and domestic factors that influenced their lives that people would have questions about when they became Christians. Christians are not called to be social and domestic revolutionaries. They are to serve God in whatever station they find themselves. Their salvation is not disturbed by remaining in that situation. It is a question of salvation. Is my salvation hindered by being a slave? No, it is not. If you live for God, according to God's law, you can live as a slave and be a Christian, and your salvation will not be affected. Or you can live as a free man and live according to the law of God, and your salvation will not be affected. Circumcision has nothing to do with your salvation under the new covenant, but what does is the keeping of the commandments of God. Christians are to trust that the will of God will be carried out by God. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. God's promises are certain. And because they are, that is a great encouragement for you and I to serve Him faithfully. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." God's promises are real. Our part is faith and patience, faith and steadfastness. Hebrews 10:36, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." Endurance. Mordecai seems to be a man who demonstrated these characteristics. So would you think that Mordecai would be a good example for us to look at and learn something from his faith? Even though you may have never heard a lesson about Mordecai before, I think he's a good example. Mordecai raised Esther. He didn't have to, but he did. What he did helped save the king's life. He didn't have to, but he did. He refused to bow to Haman. He didn't have to refuse to. He could have gone along with everyone else, but he didn't. He called upon Esther to act. He didn't have to tell her what to do or advise her to do something like that, where her life was at risk, but he did. Mordecai trusted the will of God. He didn't have to, but he did. What a great faith Mordecai had. And how my life can be blessed by following those kind of principles that you and I can see in his life. And I hope your life will be blessed too. If we can help you to become a Christian or to walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in, we'd be delighted to do that. Do you need to respond to the invitation of Christ tonight? If you do, we'll rejoice with you in that. Please let it be known. While we stand together and encourage you in song, please come to the front. Thank you.